Happy Thanksgiving. Hello and welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Sam McEwen along with Dirk Chatelain and Tom Chattel. Dirk's Gretna team falling just short in the Class A state championship. I'm sorry. Hello to everyone. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Usually, that's the day when I think that's like the number one drinking day of the year, when like people go out to the bars and they drink the most because they're with their friends and they know that nothing's going to happen before noon on Thanksgiving. So hopefully we don't have any head coaching rumors tonight to drink to.
Traditionally in Nebraska, I think the biggest drinking day of the year is immediately after the Black Friday loss to Iowa. So
that evening.
Yes.
That's right. With the Thanksgiving leftover sandwich. I always try to have a Thanksgiving leftover sandwich on Saturday when I'm watching Michigan Ohio State.
That loss has become tradition. Yes. Unfortunately.
It's been the last time Nebraska won that game was in 2014. Wild game. Very memorable game.
All there.
Everybody thought Kirk Ferentz was going to get fired, remember? He was saying, that's football. Lee Barfnik lit him up for that.
I remember driving back in that van, the World Herald van,
right, yeah.
And thinking, all right, is he getting fired or not? And he didn't on Saturday. We thought, okay, if they don't fire Pelini on Saturday, then he's in the clear. And then
9:30 breakfast on Sunday.
Yep,
I'm just getting out of the shower.
I'm in my chair watching the ESPN and then email.
I was sleeping.
My wife told me because she saw my phone and she's like, Bob Pelini got fired.
I'm like, what? That's exactly how it happened for me. We had a 2 month old. No,
yeah,
a one month old. So it was one of these late nights with a 1 month old. So 9:30 in the morning, I'm sleeping and my wife comes up and taps me and shows me her phone and there it was.
These wives that look at your phone. No, what are you doing?
Oh, she just saw it on the alert. And she's like,
if that. Well, why is she looking at
Because I have an alert on my, you
but
know,
she's
on
at
like.
Your phone.
She saw it on her Facebook page and she Bo doesn't
Pelini
follow it
got
at all.
Fired. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. There goes
that thus
day.
The day began. That's and Nebraska football has not been very good since. They've had a few moments since then. Obviously, the 2015 win over Michigan State, the 2016 win over Oregon. I don't think there was a moment during the Scott Frost era other than the day that he was let go. So here we are. We're at the precipice of another hire. It hasn't come out yet. There was no leakage before Thanksgiving. There was so much rumor that they were going to make it. They were going to announce a hire, 2 weeks ago, that there was going to be something on Monday. I don't know if you heard that rumor, that the Champions Center, which is across the street from Memorial Stadium, Gretna apparently had it for that day, to like families and stuff like that. No. Gretna had been moved off, and the Champions Club was going to be the home of this announcement right before the Class A game. That was one of the rumors I heard.
They never do anything there.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Ever.
Well, they might do it there, but they wouldn't do it.
But they've never done it there. They always do it where they
All right, everybody, now go over to the game. And so, there's just all of this rumor and stuff going around, and it hasn't broken yet. There's been a lot of talk and smoke around Matt Rhule for weeks. Certainly in the last week, I've heard a lot. We haven't really reported it because I think I'm not trying to be like a smug person here by saying our standards are a little bit different than maybe some of the things you would say on the message boards. But at the end of the day, they are.
I hope so.
They are. And so there's a lot of smoke around Rhule. But I don't think that's going to coalesce. I've always been skeptical that he would be Nebraska's football coach. But we're narrowing down the search, and we're at that moment. And I'm curious what you guys think. I'm going to dispense a little bit of information or some thoughts here in a minute. But, A, how impressed are you that we got to this point and there hasn't been a lot of leaks? B, we know it's not Lance Leipold. He's out.
That was big news.
It was big news.
I mean, I'm not saying it was like...
No, I agree.
But that was probably the biggest... Tom's been talking about this for weeks, that like... Hey, where's the extensions? And we've started to see them here in the last 72 hours with Leipold and DeBoer, and I imagine we'll see a couple more here in the next 4 or 5 days.
So, do you think Leipold's extension means he said no to Nebraska, or Nebraska moved on? Nebraska has its guy, and they don't need him anymore. They released him.
I don't know. I think likely the latter, but.
I think so, too.
I don't know that for sure. I think that the point I was making though is that, you know, Chattel was wise enough to point out that's often a tell for when a school is prospective school is talking to agents, you know, who's signing extensions and who's not.
Especially since this happens so early in the season. But I've been very impressed that nothing has of any substance has leaked out. You know, nationally, the national guys, Bruce Feldman and company, don't really have anything. They're kind of guessing.
ESPN's still on Gary Patterson, and
yeah, I mean they're it's not right.
Gary Patterson.
So
it's not.
It's so
Gary
weird.
Patterson.
It's almost like the national guys don't care. Is Nebraska so far below the radar that nobody cares?
That's the thing,
and it's.
And I think it's because the agents haven't gotten a clear sense. There hasn't been a clear offer, and there hasn't been a clear whatever. And then there's this Matt Rhule thing over here that nobody can quite get their arms around.
I wrote earlier about the UNO, you know, Trev's history hiring at UNO, and he had two completely different hockey coaches he hired. But when he needed the big fish, he didn't take no for an answer. And that may be what's happening with Matt Rhule right now, is that they're playing tennis. They're going back and forth. And ultimately, I think Trev will get his man, but he's going to have to give. How much is he willing to give to get him? And that may be sort of the dance that's going on right now.
I don't think money is an issue. my every person that I've spoken to, not every person, but most of the people that I've spoken to, there have been a few that said Trev is going to be a tightwad on this, but I've also talked to people who I feel good about, who have said money was never part of the discussion at the front end of it. You know, when you're doing all of those things and you're talking about salary ranges, when you're working with search firms and things like that, they ask that question because they won't go after somebody. And money was not an issue, one. Two, I do not believe, if there may have been some contingent at Nebraska that reached out to Mark Stoops. It's possible. But I don't believe that Mark Stoops was ever a noted candidate for the role. I think Mark Stoops has been given an enormous raise that he hasn't earned, and good for Kentucky, good for him for getting it. I don't know.
Well, that's what Mitch Barnhart does. He's very generous.
And I think Mark Stoops was, they were trying to give Mark Stoops an extension weeks and weeks and weeks ago. That has nothing to do with Nebraska. I know Brett McMurphy credited that to Nebraska, but my sense of it is that Mark Stoops was not among the initial candidates for the list. I think Leipold was in that shorter list, maybe not the longest list, but shorter list. I think he's in the mix there. And then I think there's now maybe a tier. And I don't know where Rhule is. The one area where I wish I could provide more detailed or what I thought was confident reporting about Matt Rhule, I can't. I think there's certainly been some sort of conversations, discussions, interest. I think it's hard for me to understand how Matt Rhule's buyout at Carolina is any different from any other buyout that's ever been paid. So it's hard for me to understand how contract negotiations would be contingent upon what Carolina thought of what he was going to make. That's odd to me. So what I think does he actually want to coach at a school like Nebraska, or does he want people to think that he wants to coach?
He did an interview this week with it was one of the Carolina writers.
Right.
It was on the NFL wires.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an NFL conversation where he said, I really miss it. I miss being on the field. I miss coaching the guys. I miss teaching. I really want to come back as soon as possible. That could have been a negotiating thing just to throw out there. I mean, you don't know what to believe in these situations. You have to be careful about everything.
To me, when I saw that too, when I saw that, my thought process, Tom, was he wants people to know he wants to be back on the sidelines. That's not the same as wanting to be back on the sidelines. Right. Because if you want to get back on the sidelines, you know what you do. You take a job. And you take a job that's willing to pay you a lot of money. I'm not saying that Nebraska is willing to pay Matt Rhule $10 million. But I don't think I think they're willing to pay, and I'm just going to be really blunt, what Matt Rhule's market rate really is. And Matt Rhule's market rate is not $9 or $10 million because Matt Rhule hasn't done a $9 or $10 million job at anywhere he's been. That's a fact. And I'm not trying to be rude to the guy. I think he's a good coach, and he's great with the media. I think he'd be great for us.
But
this is a guy that is that coached a couple years at Temple. He had one good season at Baylor. Granted, he yes, I know what he took
that
over.
Doesn't matter. You're worth
and he stunk
whatever,
at Carolina.
You're worth what they pay you.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Mel Tucker worth what he's making?
No.
But now, whatever Trevor pay him, that's what he's worth. Right.
He's not. So, but I'll say this, too. There's nobody else that's going to give Mel Tucker $9 million. I firmly believe.
But all it takes is one.
The Bears would have been willing to hire Mel Tucker. Not for that.
Right.
And I wanted to see Mel Tucker go to the Bears. I really did. I still do.
I don't think Nebraska
fans. But he's not going there for $9.5 million.
Nebraska fans aren't going to care what they're paying him. There's somebody will moan and complain.
They'll care if he loses.
This isn't our deal. They just want to win. They want to get out of this hole. It's the lowest point in history, at least modern or whatever, Devaney history, they've ever been. And they're totally irrelevant, and they need to start doing something serious here soon. So, $10 million? Do it.
Well,
that's what it takes. It's not our money. It isn't Joe Husker's money. They've got the money.
Well, for $10 million, you'd hope you'd get a $10 million coach. And there's only like three of those. Their names are Nick Saban, Lincoln Riley,
I know, but
and Ryan Day.
Again.
Wait, why is Ryan Day a $10 million coach?
He's good.
Based on what?
Ryan Day's
based
really,
on
really
what,
good
Sam?
Coach.
Because I'm going to refute your point here.
Really good coach. He's done a great job there.
Well, let's talk after
hard,
it's Ohio State.
hard place to win every single game.
Oh, my God.
If they beat Michigan,
give me a break.
They will have won every game this season. It's not an easy place to win every game. Can you win 8 or 9 games there? Sure. But
well, let's talk after Saturday.
All I'm going to say is, and this is, I have a lot of confidence about this based on people that I've talked to. Urban Meyer went 11-1 or 12-1, and everybody agrees that Urban Meyer was a great coach.
Ryan Day got his ass kicked by Michigan last year.
That program was ready to fall apart every single season when Meyer was there because he took them and broke them.
All right.
The difference with Day is
first
he's
time
able to,
head coach he's hasn't able to, won a national championship.
He's able to
he's
win
not
all,
worth $10 million.
He's able to win all those games without taking the team and breaking it in two, or having a criminal.
They
enterprise.
Broke last year 2 days after Thanksgiving.
They lost the game, but I grant it.
Who have they played this year that gives you any confidence?
They've been
really
underwhelming
good?
To me. I've said that, but that doesn't change the fact that I think he's a good coach.
Good coach is not $10 million. He's not in the
he's
Saban
really,
tier.
Really
he's not
coach.
In the Brian Kelly tier.
Well,
I don't think I agree with you. Actually, I think Brian Kelly is a very he's done a terrific job. But I think if you put him at where Oklahoma, where
my
like
whole
Riley was
my
Oklahoma?
Whole point is, there's no such thing as this guy deserves this and this guy deserves this and this guy deserves this. Like, if your desperation in a situation prompts you to overpay a guy, that's
Nebraska fans
people
are
do
okay
that
with
all
that,
the time.
As
we'll yes. do that all the time.
As it relates to Rhule, he has no job. And he is guaranteed the money from Carolina.
But if you're...
So if he's saying, in just in theory, let's take Matt Rhule out of it and just go Candidate A. Candidate A has been fired. Candidate A does not have a job. Candidate A is going to get all the money they would want from the job that the person who just fired them. Candidate A is not going to go, now, I mean, I got to tell you here, $7 million is okay, but I really need $9 to come back. I mean, come on.
You don't
on.
Think Matt Rhule could have the Arizona Who's, State job or the such-and-such job tomorrow if he wanted it?
I do.
Who is candidate
not
B?
Not at $9 million, though.
Who is
because
candidate
the coaches would be
C?
Like, well, what's that?
Who is candidate B and C? It matters a lot.
I'm not talking about
he
it
has leverage.
If
your candidate B is somebody not very attractive, he's got leverage.
I'm talking about it from Matt Rhule's perspective. If
that's
Matt Rhule
saying.
Really wants to get back on the field that badly, he would accept a $7 million contract, wouldn't he?
Maybe he's willing to wait a year. Maybe he wants to get what he can now. I don't know. But I'm saying.
I agree with you that he's willing to wait a year. That's why I wonder. What I wonder is this like, I don't blame him for this. I don't really want any of the jobs that are open. But I can't sit here and not pursue anything.
You can't.
Because I got Carolina owner over here that's going to go nuts if I don't have a job.
Well, he can't guarantee what will be open next year either. So
you can't?
In any case.
But let me just, I guess, put it in both of your guys' lap. Let's say you had been let go from a coaching job and you were guaranteed $44 million. And you saw 7 or 8 jobs open, and those jobs were Auburn, Arizona State, Nebraska, Georgia Tech, Colorado. God, what are the other ones? I'm not even sure. And you didn't like any of those jobs. Would you? You wouldn't just take one to take one.
No, and I don't think. But
right.
We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what's in his head. So it's you know, we're sitting here trying to do that. Whatever job next year is open, unless it's, but maybe he's from Pennsylvania, but maybe he likes Texas.
Sure.
Maybe he thinks A&M is a place for him.
Could be.
And that's going to be open, if not next week, after next season. So
maybe. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Because if West Virginia fires
Neil Brown.
Brown. We almost call him Reed.
Which they're probably going to because they fired the AD.
There's speculation that Jimbo might go to West Virginia. He's thrown a lot of money away, but you know what? At A&M, they can make it uncomfortable. So,
oh yeah,
whatever. I'm just saying that could be a possibility. I don't know. But I give us your news.
Hold on.
Change the subject. Let's just get to your news a little
bit. All I'm saying is that, like, I'm trying to put into context the rule stuff in the sense that if there's really a contract negotiation to be having, then there's one of two things is true. A, Nebraska's really cheap. Or B, Rule doesn't really want to coach. Because, like, if your offer to a guy is $7 million, I think I need 9.
I don't think when it matters, Trev is cheap. I think he wasn't cheap at UNO.
Agreed.
He probably gave Mike Gavin it. He probably overpaid for Mike.
Right.
But he wanted that job to have a certain salary. But whenever he needed to get the Dean Blase, he gave it to him. So I think they'll do the same thing here, probably to a limit. But again, who's candidate B and C? If they are not very attractive, then he's got to land the big guy.
Right.
So let's go ahead.
Go.
I was just going to say, let's just point out a few things that make this a little bit unusual. Your interim coach hasn't won a game in, what, a month and a half?
Right.
That makes it really tough to choose the interim coach that might have looked like an interesting candidate.
It does.
The fact that you've been sitting on this for 70 to 75 days ups the pressure, the intensity.
It does.
Like, the more you dilly-dally at this point, this isn't your typical coaching search where you fire the guy on Black Friday and right. Here we are 5 days later. You know, we're going to let this play out a little bit. Like, no, you've been sitting on this for 75 days. Every 24 hours that it extends feels like 72 hours. So They can't, using one of your favorite terms, they can't futz around with this.
Right.
It needs to happen next week. It's a dead week for coaches. They can't recruit. They come back Friday. It really should happen next week, unless it's Kleiman or it's Fickell, who are going to have conference championship games next week. Then they won't take the job next week Unless it's after the game. So,
can we just point out for a second how stupid it is that a coach will not take a job before a conference championship, but they will take a job before a bowl game?
Right.
Like, why? What's the difference? You might
depends
be point,
on the quality of the bowl game.
We've seen it happen lots of times.
Brian Kelly did.
Like, you might be playing in a something short of a playoff game, you know, whatever you call them these days.
Get a bonus. You get a bonus for winning a conference title. That's why.
But why is the line there? Why can't the line be between
the
regular season?
You want to be distracted because you want to win the conference title, so you get your bonus.
But you don't want to win your bowl game? Like, Sugar Bowl doesn't matter? The little rules that we create for ourselves is just stupid.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
All right. So the reason I had that question about Rule, and that we went through that whole discourse, which was actually quite good, even if it annoyed anyone, is what if he's not candidate A? What if he is candidate C?
Okay.
And what if candidates A and B are the guys that you want, and candidate C is the guy that you're willing to pay $9 million to? You're willing to call his bluff, but only after A and B say no.
Okay.
And so I think that's part of the thing that I think may be going on there is that Nebraska does not need to pay Matt Rule or agree to pay Matt Rhule X number of dollars until it becomes abundantly clear that the top people on their list don't want to come there.
Well, so hurry up and hire A and B. What are you waiting for?
Well, there, as you well know, we don't know. They can hire those people.
Well, you know.
So
something.
here's my sense, is that when you're talking about all of the candidates that Nebraska's looked at, I don't know for sure who their top candidates are. I don't, because they've been really good about keeping a lot of that under wraps. But I think it's fair to say that Chris Klieman and Luke Fickell grade out really highly when you look at what Nebraska wants. Klieman grades out as somewhere close to a perfect fit. If you look at their teams, they're physical. They are. They do play defense. This is a plus in my book. Their quarterback play is pretty good. And Adrian Martinez played fine. But the other kid is good. Will Howard, Adrian was good. Skylar Thompson was good. Their quarterback play is pretty good for a defensive-minded head coach. They win the games they're supposed to win. And occasionally they pull off an upset. You know, and I think if you're going to be in the Big Ten, you have to have a head coach who knows how to beat the name teams in his league. And in the Big 12, that's Oklahoma and it's Texas. And Matt Campbell's done that, and Klieman's done that. The other candidate is Fickell. Now, Fickell has been to the college football playoff. That's a really positive thing. One. Two, he's going into the Big 12 starting next year. They're going to be in the Big 12. The Big 12 is a one-bid league. In my opinion,
why?
The Big 12 is a one-bid league in the 12-team college football playoff.
Give me a break.
Because you're going to see 3 to 4 teams from the SEC every year. You're going to see at least 3 and potentially 4 teams from the Big Ten every single year.
So if K-State beats TCU in the Big 12 title game, you're saying TCU isn't going?
In a 12 team?
If you're talking about a... If you are talking...
Let's use this year. If K-State beats TCU, you're saying TCU and K-State aren't both going?
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
I'm saying Kansas State wouldn't go. Yeah.
They're already 12th in the poll.
I understand.
Wait a minute. To the 4-team playoff?
No, the 12-team. I'm disputing the idea that the Big 12 is a one-bid league.
The 12 team is going to be 6 league champions and 6 at-larges. Okay?
So yes.
We're talking about 6 at-larges. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
How many of those are going to be SEC? 3? At-larges?
Right.
I'm telling you that I think in some ways, I think the Big 12 is more appealing to a coach than the Big 10 because you don't have to deal with Ohio State and Michigan. Like, I can win that league.
Now, we've had this conversation before.
And I can get second in the league, and I can still probably go to the playoff.
And
where in the Big Ten, I got to beat Ohio State and Michigan.
That's a key question for any coach who's in the Big 12 to
and
answer,
USC.
And I think that's a great point. To be clear, I'm not saying that I agree one way or the other. I'm saying that is a discussion that every single Big 12 coach, including Fickell and Klieman, have to have. Do I want to feel like I have to win my league? Or am I comfortable with going to a league where if I finish third, I'm going to be in, and they will.
I'm saying second in the Big 12 is going to make it a lot of years.
It depends on what you depend on is the second place team beating the first place team in the conference title game.
I don't think that's necessary.
Because if TCU beats Kansas State wouldn't be going to the playoff.
I think
neither
most,
would any other team.
Most years the Big 12 is it can be one team.
I agree.
Because if you throw, you know, the SEC strength of schedule helps them. You throw in USC and UCLA.
Yep.
The Big Ten strength of schedule goes up. Big 12
yep.
doesn't have any of those. But they got a lot of tough teams. You're bringing in 4 teams that are going to be really hard to beat. And I think there's a lot of 8-4s in the Big 12.
I agree with you completely.
You guys are falling way back on perception here instead of reality.
8-4 is 8-4. It is what it is.
I mean, I would slot the Big 12 over the Pac-12 and the ACC, certainly. But
I would not.
But in terms of getting the 6 at large,
okay,
those are gonna go
pretty
fast. Let's
use an example. Last year, Baylor and Oklahoma State go down to the wire in the Big 12 title game.
Mm-hmm.
They both go 12-2.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor finishes the college football playoff rankings 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State finishes 7.
Mm-hmm.
They're both going.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't explain what,
what
the rankings.
What do you
mean?
Maybe
what the rankings.
5-7.
The rankings will be very.
They're
both
12-2.
You, the rankings are going to change once
the Big
they
12
go to
will be
teams.
Just fine.
But maybe
okay. But there's your point. There's your argument. The Big 12 will be just fine. That's one argument. The other argument is what Tom is saying, one bid league. Anyway, back to Kleiman and Fickell. I think it's fair to say that it's possible that those two guys fit very well what Nebraska's looking for. What I would say about Kleiman is he fits almost perfectly. The question is, does he want to leave where he's at? And does he want to leave an AD that he really knows and go to Nebraska, where I think he has a very similar AD, but it's not quite the same?
We talked about this last week, and the Big Ten is a place where, we'll call it a strange place, although it certainly can be strange. It's a place where those who grew up in the Big Ten love the Big Ten. Big Ten is God.
Right.
That is their
right.
way, the way of Big Ten. It's like SEC.
Yep.
It's a regional bias thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Kleiman from Iowa. He and Trevor are from the same crib,
yep.
basically. They know each other. They have a history. Big Ten country, where you know, Waterloo, Cedar Falls,
yep.
that's Big Ten. Fickell, Ohio guy.
Big Ten.
So that is that a factor?
I think so.
I don't know. Only they know. But I'm just saying, yeah. if you're going to choose between Big 12 and Big Ten, that could be a factor.
Yeah. And then I think you have Fickell, who, in my opinion, again, there's issues with their offense at times. But the one thing you can say about Fickell is he has a really good eye for defensive talent, and Cincinnati has guys. And they have a lot of guys. Like, they have talent on that team, especially on defense. And their defense is Big Ten ready. I mean, it's really good.
So
you know, I think he would be a really good fit, both of them.
So maybe Trev isn't going after Rule with the intense eye or the intense drive that he did with Dean Blase. Maybe it's Fickell and Kleiman who are kind of saying, I don't know, and he's not going to take no for an answer with them.
I think there's a possibility that the way that Nebraska's handled this is they have engaged multiple candidates in equally robust ways, understanding that there's certain things that they will or won't do given the coaching candidates. And understanding, too, I'm not saying that there needs to be a financial limit. To be clear, Nebraska does have a lot of money. But there does come a point where when you go over a certain dollar amount, your eyebrow gets arched because you do wonder, now what are you here to do if this is the amount you want?
I don't think either of those two guys is going to ask for that.
I agree. So I think there's part of that's in that conversation. And then I think I'm not saying that Rule is plan C or plan A or whatever. What I'm suggesting is that some of the negotiations around a guy like Matt Rule can take place over here. They can take place over here. And it doesn't change because he's either not going to work or he's going to work at Nebraska. I don't know. Does he strike you as the kind of guy that wants to go to Auburn and deal with that place? Because that place fires coaches faster than Nebraska does, and the Auburn coaches they fire have had success.
It's so interesting to me, just the timeline of how this whole thing played out, because I would imagine, I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine that there are coaches who were interested in September who are not interested in November.
Yep.
And there were probably coaches who were not interested in September who are interested in November.
Right.
And like, what the point of contact and when you have those conversations, I think would be really important. You know, the series of events, the sequence matters, and that doesn't happen if it all plays out in a 7-day period at the end of November.
But how important is it to get this done by a Sunday, Monday? And do you give either one of those, the Kleiman Fickell boys, a deadline? You say, we got to have it. You got to announce it now. Got to have it.
Or if you know they're locked up, then you don't have to do anything.
Then all of a sudden, you want to have a press conference next week and start recruiting. that means that they have to leave where they are. They probably won't do that, right?
Right.
So it has to wait a week if it's them.
It's possible. And again, I think Rule's going to be out there. So I don't know that you have to. The irony is I think Rule's going to be available in 2 weeks.
Can you imagine?
Maybe I'm wrong.
The conversations around here. If it's not, nothing happens by Sunday or Monday, people are going to be doing. And, okay, it's got to be one of these guys. But what if it's not? Oh, my God. Well, what are we doing?
Tom, you get a lot of Nebraska fans. Those
what are we doing?
Out on the farms rubbing their hands.
The panic.
What's going
in the
on?
Streets.
Well, and the funny part of that, right, Tom, panic. Is the exact same thing happened, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But it was the worst kept secret in college football, you know, that
right.
that Scott was going to be the guy. Yeah. And he had a conference championship game, but it was he was there. What, 18 hours later? So this yeah. could be much more tense.
You covered that, didn't you?
No.
Hedy went down to
Chris
that
Hedy
one.
Went oh. to that.
But you were at one of the others.
I went to the...
we sent Lee. You
while you
Hedy.
Were at Minnesota, yeah, I was at Central Florida. And then when Lee went down for the Thanksgiving basketball tournament, he covered the USF game. And then Hedy went down for the conference title game. So we were pretty sure it was Scott Frost, obviously.
There was nobody else.
Is there going to be Lane Kiffin coming up behind the curtain? Is anybody else like that out there?
I think the name that I have heard, and last week that name was Kalen DeBoer. What I've heard, and again, this is somewhat...
We got him a raise. It was our show.
Yeah. it's Jeff Traylor. At Texas San Antonio.
See, I just don't know.
That would be...
Key wow. Matt, he's a Texas, all-Texas guy. You yeah. can't throw him into the Big Ten. It'd be like throwing Frost into the Big Ten. I don't care if he can recruit. I don't know. I just think that would be... If you're going to do that, hire Mickey. That's my take on him. Not even knowing who the guy is.
Okay.
So anyway, sorry. But it's not a big name. Give me a big name.
Well, I don't. I think the biggest name is the things that fit Nebraska the best and has been communicated that way is Fickell and Klieman. And let's be clear. Now people downplay what both of those guys have done. But do you know how many coaches have made it to the college football playoff?
Not many.
Not many. And the names are pretty good. Like yeah. it's Saban. Oh, and Meyer and Jimbo. Jimbo made it that first year, remember? Jimbo. Mark, you know, the guy at Oregon.
Helfrich. Where's he at these days?
He's like an analyst. I think he also does announcing.
Fox TV guy, right?
Dabo made it. Chris Peterson. Ryan Day.
I think Helfrich did the Georgia Southern game, maybe.
I think he did
one of those early games. I remember that.
Coach O made it.
Yeah.
Some of these guys have been fired, obviously. Harbaugh, Kirby Smart, and Luke Fickell. So,
man, if there's a test on this, you're going to ace it.
And the great Ryan Day.
Yeah, Ryan Day's a really good coach.
If Harbaugh goes in there.
I'm sorry.
I'm just giving you a hard
time. Frank Leahy.
But you're right. If Ryan Day loses to Michigan at home, they're going to be all over his ass.
Yeah, they will.
That's how that game works.
He's made, you know, he's made a mistake. He made a mistake in holding on to a defensive coordinator 1 year too long in Kerry Coombs, but he changed that. And they paid a lot of money to go get the guy to Oklahoma State, and they're better. The point being that Fickell's done quite a bit. And then Klieman, I guess it depends on how much value you put into what he did at North Dakota State when he didn't build it.
Sam, with all of the anxiety of this, either of those names, even Matt Rhule, would satisfy this fan base.
Oh, I think Matt Rhule would be the top of the three. But then
no,
the other
Luke,
two would be satisfied.
Luke Fickell would. Luke Fickell would be the top of the three. Yes.
Okay.
Luke Fickell would be. The order would be Fickell, Rhule, Klieman, I think.
Yeah.
But boy, if it's not one of those three, if we're dipping down into the Munkin and Traylor and the, you know, that tier, the reception is a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be getting a lot of, why don't you just hire Mickey? You are.
Well, why don't you just hire Mickey?
Well, if it's one of those. Now, Munkin, to me, is a little interesting because somebody pointed out to me the idea that it shouldn't build a program is a little overrated today because of all the transfers.
Sure.
And you don't build a program. It is kind of reconstructed every year. So maybe that's a little overrated. But you know what, Trev? I'm going to write this for my column for Friday. I like the idea of having Mickey around on the next staff. I really think that there's something there. Now let's find out. Maybe he could be the head coach one day, not now. A lot of people disagree with me on that, but it's not a requirement. You don't have to keep him. You can't do that to a coach. But I think it would be a good situation to have him there. And for God's sakes, would you please get the Gretna quarterback on board? Holy cow.
Tom, I was thinking about this the other day.
What a joke.
Do you remember?
That's unbelievable.
Do you remember how ugly the Turner Gill Bill Callahan overlap was? How awkward that was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there any?
Scott Frost called into a radio show. It was so bad.
I fear that the Mickey thing could play out like that. Especially being 9 games as a head coach and then having to take a backseat to a guy that might not choose him. Like, I don't know. I understand the positive of it, but I fear that it won't play out as everybody hopes.
I think the backlash of that time was, boy, Steve Peterson, and he had just come out and said, well, it's just a bunch of streaks and records. They're meant to be broken someday. What are you guys worried about? And people didn't go to a bowl. They didn't. People were losing their minds, and so Callahan was the guy who was going to tear it all down. And then you had Scott Frost calling into the radio show saying they're tearing down my program. You know, little did we know what he would do one day. But I don't know. I just think he'd be a good guy to have around. But again, you can't force it.
Well, yeah. It would be a much more interesting situation had he won 2 or 3 more games.
It would.
I mean,
very
it,
much.
It would be a.
Yeah.
I think the anxiety over what to do might actually even be heightened if Nebraska was 5-6.
Oh, I think I agree with you. If they were had a chance to go to a bowl, no question. You know, again, this has been there's been a lot going. There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of stuff going on. I want to reiterate on Rule. It's entirely possible that Nebraska says, you know what, we're going to do what we're going to do with Matt Rule, and we're going to go forward with that, and that's where we're going to go. I think the fan base would receive it really, really well. I think, Tom, you're fundamentally right when you say if you have to pay what you have to pay to get the guy that you want, then that's what you pay. And I get that. And if it's $9 or $10 million, even if I don't think that like what's on his resume would necessitate that, I understand it. One, you pay what you gotta pay. Two, I do think there are people within Nebraska's construct, whether it's, you know, boosters or in, you know, higher ups or whatever, who really like the idea of Matt Rule because of the things that he's about, the way how good he is with the media, and his sort of like one of us. Culture-driven philosophy. I think there's people that really like him because of the way that he talks and maybe the relationships that they could build with him and all those things. Those things matter. So I think that's very popular. Simultaneously, I think he would bring a tough style of play. People are impressed by what he did at Temple. And then when he went to Baylor, he transformed a program that had kind of fallen apart. A lot of the talent hadn't left, but, you know, he also recruited a number of the players who then won the Big 12 championship for Dave Aranda. So there's a lot of things about Matt Rule. I'm not trying to dump on him at all. And I'm not saying
he's not a $10 million guy.
He's not a plan C.
He shouldn't have to pay him that. I'm just saying, what's B and C? Because if it's Traylor, I'm trashing a guy I don't even know. I apologize to him. But, I mean... But it's just like, who's B and C? He's got, if he has leverage on you, but I'm not ruling anybody out until they get an extension. And, you know, Matt Rule's the one guy who can't get an extension. So
he can't get an extension. I don't know that there's ever been a moment where he shut it down. I think that thing is, as people have said for weeks, fluid with Matt Rule. And so, like, I don't want to throw cold water on that or necessarily say that he isn't Nebraska's top candidate. I'm just saying that the discussion around him seems trickier to me than it should be because the guy doesn't have a job.
But to me, the light pole thing last night, as Dirk said, was huge.
It means he's out.
Now
it
sets up the weekend like, okay, Husker fans, you might not get anything this weekend. So be prepared for no news. It might be next week. How are you going to handle that? turn on your daily talk show and see what they're saying about the
I just
the
feel like,
the week.
Again, if it's Matt Rhule, then you should be able to figure that out by today or tomorrow or by Friday, and you should be able to announce that over the weekend. And there does, again, come a point where you say, if you want to coach and you want to be back on a sideline and that's what you want to do, then here is a reasonable number that you can do that for. And to me, that seems pretty straightforward. And if it goes on for days and days and days on end, then you have to
pick
someone else.
Fickle deadline of this weekend, I need to know. I'm not going to announce it, but I need to know. If it's no, absolutely no, I got to move on. Do you give them that deadline?
Yeah, I think so.
I think your point, though, Sam, is your theory is solid, because I think it really helps to have your backup plan be someone who doesn't have a team, because theoretically you can come back to that person and you can keep that conversation going where, you know, if we're talking about Luke Fickle here, you know, you've got to have some direction. You've got to have some certainty there. And when a guy has a timeline of coaching a football program, it's harder to sort of keep a conversation going, I think.
Okay, here's the savvy move for Trev Alberts next week. You get your guy, and then you have the press conference the day after the championship games, which is December 4th, same day as the Nebraska-Creighton game. You have your press conference an hour before the Nebraska-Creighton game, so nobody's paying attention to your basketball team playing a Final Four Creighton team.
Let's think.
That's savvy.
What
do you think?
That would be savvy.
People be mad?
I think if Nebraska wants Matt Rhule,
can I insert a J-Sker joke here? Yes. That everybody in the arena would be would be following the same news, even if they were wearing blue. So
that's right. They would. Yeah, they'd be like,
Go ahead, Sam. Matt Rhule.
And I you know, we always have to kind of cover our bases here. But at the end of the day, again, if it's there's going to be a lot of smoke around Rhule until it hits either Matt Rhule or it's a different coach.
It is going to be hard for Trev Alberts at the end of this process to say, I got my number one guy. I got the guy that I, you know, targeted from the start. Like,
right.
I guess it's okay if it doesn't work out like that. You know, lots of really successful coaches, you know, weren't the only target on the board.
Pete Carroll. That's the best. That's the known one. Look, again, if Matt Rhule is the coach by the next time we have a podcast, then Trev will be able to plausibly and aggressively say, we got our number one guy, and people will nod their heads. Because Rhule comes off that way. Like, he will do a great job of talking to the media and all that. My only point is, I'm a little confused as to why this has dragged out. If he's the guy, it's the day before Thanksgiving. What I have found within the Nebraska underground media, or whatever you want to call it, is there's a little bit of a chaos agent quality to this. And they like to do this stuff. That this happened 2 weeks ago. It happened on the weekend of the Michigan game. And it could happen again today, where it's like, we're going to make the reporters scramble on Thanksgiving Eve. And we're gonna turn this into a big game on Thanksgiving, too. Like, it's...
Who does that?
Well...
Can we assume?
I'm just saying that kind of stuff is going to, if people listen to this podcast today or tomorrow, there's probably going to be stuff out there, and it's possible that it's smoke. I just don't think you're going to see some sort of announcement from Nebraska before the Black Friday game. I just don't.
Can we assume?
But there's going to be some chaos agency going on, because that's what happens in this program now, and some of it is because the people at the top don't always do a great job of having open channels. They tighten it up. And then, you know, this booster over here and this person over here and the contract person in the office over here. And that's how it goes.
Can we assume that Trev Alberts will not call a press conference to say that the search is going well and they're just beginning it in earnest after 35 days?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
Oh, after the
I wasn't paying attention to that part.
He called a press conference to basically say, Nothing's happening.
But all is well.
All is well. Oh, really?
It was Kevin Bacon.
That was the biggest disaster.
That's funny.
And we were all trampling him. You know, we were like.
In some ways, we are like, and I say this sort of as the media contingent, but we are sort of like the person who's been married 6 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything that happens in a relationship, it was like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of my 4th marriage. Yep. Or my 2nd marriage, because we're so scarred.
Yep.
By what's happened here that yep. everything that happens brings up a bad memory from something in the last 20 years.
Okay, so let's do prediction time, and then we'll talk a little briefly about basketball and volleyball because we got to get out. By this time next week, Nebraska either has Rule, Klieman, Fickell, or no coach. Go. And you can even rank those if you'd like.
Oh, boy.
If it's Luke Fickell, I'll be really impressed.
Yeah.
And I'll immediately write the 2011 Nebraska-Ohio State story from Bo and Taylor Martinez and booing fans and the 1 year that Ohio State was bad in the last 25.
I'll wear my T-shirt.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Nebraska doesn't have a coach a week from now.
Okay.
I don't think they will. By next Wednesday? You're talking about next Wednesday this time. No, I don't think they'll have a coach.
Okay.
I think we're going to be in full panic mode.
Okay. I think it'll be either Matt Rule or no coach. And we'll see. Well, you know, again, I've said a lot about Rule. I'm skeptical, and just because I just don't know if what I'd heard about him not necessarily wanting to coach next year is accurate, and whether this is a job that is the best job. So I don't know if it's the best fit. But we'll see. I know there's going to be a lot of smoke around him, and if Nebraska hires Matt Rule, it is going to be a
keep in mind
he is going to have that sort of he's going to have that kind of reputation where's Matt Rule? What's he doing today? What's he doing? Because he has this reputation of being sort of like a savant, and he will generate the most excitement and heat, but I don't know that he would generate as much consistency or whatever as a Klieman or a Fickell, especially Klieman.
Keep in mind, Sunday, Monday could be active. There could be firings, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what jobs are open. That's when maybe everything's going to – Trev now might have to wait on that. This has gone on that long. It might go a little longer because other openings are coming up.
I think if it's Matt Rule, we'll know by this weekend.
Well, and again, Sam,
we may know before then, but we'll know by this weekend.
Not to state the obvious, but last year, it was basically this weekend, or was it the following weekend? It was this weekend when mm-hmm. Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley dropped a couple bombs,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and took off from jobs that people never expected them to take off from,
right?
And like threw the whole thing into chaos. So. Does that benefit Nebraska if it's thrown into chaos, or does it hurt Nebraska? I would think that it would hurt Nebraska, and that Trev would want to get out in front of that and lock his guy in before potential chaos erupts elsewhere.
So you're saying if it's not Rule this weekend, he's out?
I just think that there would be no reason not to do it. You either know what his price point is,
unless
you
want to
give him the money, or
but,
you don't.
But if he's C, and you're waiting on A and B.
That's fair. You know, I think the challenge will
if you're
come.
Waiting on if you're waiting on you know the Fickell Klieman deal, then it's not going to be this weekend.
What I know is I think those two guys fit what Nebraska's looking for really well. I do think Leipold did too, but obviously he's out because he extended with KU.
Yeah.
And I think all I'll say is that I think there's a lot around Matt Rule in the sense that there are people, especially money people, who really like him. Who think he would be interesting, and there's just a lot of, again, that's the coach that will keep. First, I think he would keep Mickey Joseph. Second, I think there would just be a lot of financial and engagement around him, and he would come in and have a lot of ideas and a lot of frameworks and things like that, and he would try to remake the program sort of in his brand, so to speak. I'm not saying he's PJ Fleck. Right. I am saying that he has a lot of very structured ideas that people would find reminiscent of a PJ Fleck.
A lot of winning coaches have that.
They do. They do.
They
that's
just
no
don't.
Question. That's how you get 20-year-olds to run through a wall.
That's right.
They don't market it like PJ, but Kirk Ferentz does. He has got his way.
Everybody, process.
They all have their way.
Process.
Bo would talk about that a lot. Scott didn't talk about it as much, and Mike Riley, I don't know what. Okay. He didn't really have one. All right, men's basketball. They play three games, Oklahoma, Seton Hall, and Memphis, and a third game. What are the likelihood that the third game is against the other worst team in that?
That would be bad because that would mean that they've lost the first two.
Hmm. Yes, but don't you
think?
So
if they're playing Siena.
Right.
Don't you think they're playing Siena? Or do you think they can win the first game?
Oklahoma's not good, Sam.
Right. They're just okay.
That's a good test. I know the bar is really low, but I've been at least a little impressed that they haven't lost the games that I think they used to lose in the past.
Yeah, the Pine Bluff thing was a serious concern.
I thought, oh boy, but so they've kind of figured out a way to do that. So I don't know. I think they probably go 1-2, right?
Yeah, I think 1-2 sounds about right. It's if they can, you know, avoid the 7th place game. Win one of the first two. Seton Hall's very beatable. I think Nebraska can win one of the first two, and that would get them into, you know, they'd play probably Florida State.
Sounds like Walker's going to come back sometime soon. So if that happens, you know, they're obviously going to come back and they're going to go to Creighton, and that's going to happen. But I'm really curious to see how many of the Big Ten games he can try to steal at home. And, you know, if you're trying to pay attention to whether he's back or not, that might be one gauge.
Nebraska, not to state the obvious, Nebraska plays at Creighton and at Indiana in back-to-back games in early December. Mm. Like, good God. They got to find a way to win a couple games between now and then. Yeah. Like, and Boston College is very winnable.
No question. Especially at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, if you can go, boy, if you can go 3-1 between this weekend and Boston College, it at least gives you some life in case things go bad in early December. So there is, like I wrote today, there is a sense of urgency. I mean, they've got to find a way to gain not only some confidence, but some, you know, some credibility here, I think, in the next week or two.
That's a good phrase for that program, sense of urgency. They don't always have that.
Yeah, the one thing I like about their team, I don't like a lot of things, but one thing I do like about their team is I don't think they're overly temperamental. So, like, I don't think that they're going to be, like, fighting with each other on the floor.
No, there's not a lot of egos out there. And you're right, that is encouraging. Nebraska's had some teams over the last 5 to 7 years that the egos on the floor did not match the talent,
right?
Or the achievement, certainly.
Or just people getting mad, like, you know, Terran Pettaway was a great player, but he was way too frustrated with his teammates. Like he allowed things that he couldn't control to affect him way beyond what they should have. And I just don't know if they have a lot of players on their team that get all that worked up by things they can't control.
Yeah,
which I think is good. On to volleyball. My theory, and I said this on the showdown earlier, is if Nebraska wins out, they're gonna be a top four seed because they're gonna win the Big Ten title, and they're gonna be a top four seed.
Yep,
that's my take, because I don't think the NCAA tournament committee would seriously suggest to anyone that the Big Ten champion is not one of the top four teams in the country. What? And if they do. I hope every Big Ten coach screams to high heaven over selecting San Diego over the Big Ten champion.
So for all roads to lead through Nebraska, they got to beat Wisconsin on Friday night.
And Minnesota right. next time. But they'll beat Minnesota.
And that's Wisconsin. The stakes. Whew.
Last year that didn't matter.
And the ticket prices.
They got to the final game. And they got swept by Wisconsin and did not win the Big Ten last year and still got the final game.
They did.
If that game is in Omaha, they probably win that game, the championship game. But last year's team was also better than this year's team. So we'll see.
I agree that they were.
We'll see what kind of path they can do that again. But I think just to somebody's got to beat Wisconsin something. So it's time to, you know, if Nebraska volleyball can't do it, who can?
Alonzo Verge did it in the last game. That's an underrated, pleasing sporting event in the last year, isn't it? When they beat Wisconsin and denied them the outright Big Ten title.
It's as big a shocker as Nebraska has achieved in any sport in a long, long time.
I mean, that was genuinely pleasing to watch that. You're like, this team has been a nightmare all season long, but they beat Wisconsin on a day when Wisconsin really wanted to win.
Yeah, it was Brad Davison's fourth senior day.
That was pretty cool. There's a couple of guys at Nebraska that are going to have about three or four senior days, too. You think Nebraska has a chance to beat Iowa on Black Friday?
No.
Okay.
No, because there's too much going on there. I mean, I say that Casey Thompson gives you a chance to be in the game, but that defense, they haven't played a defense like that. I don't think all year, have they? I don't think. I mean, you know, Kirk Ferentz going to the Big Ten championship game is the ultimate revenge for him. The ultimate, you know.
So does Brian stick around?
Well, the fans say no, but hey.
Let me throw this at you.
Here we go.
Worst division winner. The 2005 Colorado Buffaloes, who got beat, I think, 70-3 by Vince Young in Texas.
Yes.
Or the Iowa Hawkeyes that we're going to see in Indianapolis a week from now. Colorado 2005. And I think Colorado also won it in 2004, by the way.
Yeah.
Or Iowa 2022.
I like Iowa's defense. I mean, they're not terrible all across the board. They're very good. And
of course, the point is
Colorado.
This division stinks.
Yeah, they stink.
Absolutely.
Colorado.
And
yeah, that was a bad team.
And
Iowa wouldn't lose 70-3 to anyone else.
Well, I do appreciate that the divisions give everybody hope or a chance to. I think it just drags down the league. Anybody in the West should not be allowed anywhere near that game, because you haven't earned it. You have not earned that game. I mean, the championship should be between the best teams.
Set up a huge roadblock, all roads west of Indianapolis. Like if you're trying to get into the city from the west side.
It's like the game Chutes and Ladders, where you get a little ladder up to the championship game. Oh, it's a shortcut. So, no, you haven't earned it. I applaud their defense. Their defense can certainly keep them in any game, but no, they haven't earned it. And so the divisions ought to go away.
Okay, I'm rooting for chaos. I'm rooting for Nebraska to win. For the Big Ten West champion would then be Purdue, right?
It would be Purdue if Purdue wins. If Purdue loses, then Illinois wins it if they win.
So I'm rooting for a Nebraska upset to send Purdue to Indianapolis and to lose 70-3.
Now, Purdue could, yeah. That's interesting. Okay.
I mean, what would an Iowa-Ohio State rematch look like?
Closer. You know, it would, I don't know, 31-14 or something. They really shouldn't have. I mean, the division needs to die. It needs to go away.
I mean, we saw last year's.
It needs to die.
Nebraska has been part of the two worst, arguably the two worst divisions in college football history.
And won them four times. All in a tiny little span. 06, 09, 2010, 2012.
Good God.
And what were true of those teams?
Punch me in the face.
They had pretty good players. You know, Bill Callahan recruited the first three teams. 06, 09, 2010. And both recruited the 2012 team. And, I mean, a lot of what the 2012 team was Taylor.
I mean, the ACC Coastal or whatever is awful. The non-Clemson division is awful.
Yeah.
So I don't want to disrespect them.
You wouldn't want to leave them out. But that's, Nebraska's won those divisions four times, all in a six-year cluster. A lot of that based on, you know, good players. I mean, you can look at the players on those teams that we just mentioned, and you're like, those players are way better than the guys in Nebraska is now.
Yeah. No, the
they are. They just are.
You can't write the history of Nebraska's pain over the last 20 years without highlighting the fact that they were surrounded by extraordinarily beatable programs.
Yeah.
Like, Nebraska should have won 10 division championships in the last 20 years.
I agree. I'm with you.
Well,
God.
That's one of the...
And the one division championship they won in the Big Ten, they had to beat Michigan and Michigan State. Like, they beat Michigan, and Michigan wasn't great, but they were like 9-3. So that was the one year they beat Michigan.
One of the countless regrets of the Scott Frost era is the fact that the West was so beatable.
It was.
I mean, this was supposed to be when he had everything going, year four, year five. It's all in place. And it's like all these guys, they're all slipping on banana peels in the West. They can't stand up. And who stands up last? Iowa. Of course. So,
it's like a Royal Rumble, WWF Royal Rumble, where the last guy in the ring is laying unconscious, but at least he hasn't been thrown over the top rope yet.
Kirk Ferentz always gets the last laugh, right? Well, I guess
you ready? Sam's on his phone texting somebody. Potentially Matt Rule.
Yeah, no, I don't have a number for Matt Rule.
I'm not getting very good wireless here, so I haven't been on my phone. But
that's okay.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I think we're going to see Chaos Agency this evening and on Thanksgiving and probably Friday. And I think we may have a coach by the end of the weekend or we may not. And at some point, they're going to have to try to manage the silence around it because there's just a lot of uncertainty. And Nebraska football doesn't have a ton of time to resolve that because there's a lot of football players that are going to be hitting that portal.
No, if you get to Monday afternoon – and we haven't heard an announcement, the panic is going to be high. Mm-hmm. Or at least if you're not aware of where Nebraska's going, if the direction is still a mystery.
I'm not rooting for Saturday because I'll have a very unhappy wife if that happens. So, but that means it probably will. But, we'll, like we said, every marriage that's broken up and started again has a different story, so this one will have its own story, too.
Yeah. Well, we might be talking about Matt Rule. We might be talking about other people. We'll see what happens.
Maybe Trev will just say, hey, I'm going to do it. He's going to go Barry Alvarez style. I'm going to coach next year, see how it goes.
I'm going to coach his team this year and wear a suit.
Somebody wanted Tom to come back and coach with Mickey and all and the whole gang. I mean, that's,
Hire Grant Winstrom as defensive coordinator.
That's right. Winstrom, too. It
Jason
wouldn't be Grant
Peters,
Winstrom. Yeah, that's right.
Matt Davidson.
That's right. Well, we've got Grant Winstrom over here. I think he's a cable installer from Kansas. He's not the player that played at Nebraska. He's a different last name. All right. Take care, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.